spiritual liberation involves liberating ourselves from the paradigm that currently shapes us. Our experience of reality, our experience of ourselves, everything that we perceive, everything that we experience as real, is being filtered and shaped to match what we believe reality to be. You see, the way a paradigm works is a paradigm dictates to us what reality is. It then shapes our perception into the form of reality that it has told us is real, and then convinces us that because we experience reality that way, that's the way reality is. We have these unconscious assumptions and definitions for everything that we're not completely aware of, but they're shaping the way we relate to everything that we are aware of. Now, what gets particularly tricky for us, those of us who are interested in moving beyond the current paradigm, is that even our inquiry into the current paradigm and our inquiry into how to move beyond it is itself shaped by the paradigm that we're inquiring into. So even the conversation I'm having now is being shaped by the current paradigm, even though I'm trying to do my best to share with you in a way that will loosen the grip of the current paradigm. So I want to give you just a moment to sit with the implications of that. And this is also an opportunity to say a little bit about wormhole inquiry. Wormhole inquiry is a way of using the mind's capacity to inquire that has the potential to catapult us into a dramatic shift. But we can't engage with wormhole inquiry the way we engage with normal inquiry. So in this case, I'm asking you to just consider the challenge of the fact that the person that we experience ourselves to be, who is committed to and actively pursuing a way beyond the current paradigm, only actually exists as a construct of the current paradigm. And in a wormhole inquiry, we don't try to figure anything out. We don't even try to think about that. We just allow ourselves to be with it, to attune with the dilemma that's being described. I recently heard from a philosopher named Timothy Morton, who happens to be at Rice University. He describes this kind of problem as a wicked problem. It's wicked because our efforts to solve the problem actually serve to embed us more deeply in it. So if we are trying to move beyond the current paradigm as the self-aware, separate being that we experience ourselves to be in the current paradigm, then the more we try, the more we inadvertently reinforce the exact self-concept that keeps us anchored to the current paradigm. Let me be a little more specific about the current paradigm. We live in a paradigm of individual achievement that is circumscribed by a paradigm of assumed separation. We see ourselves as separate individuals that achieve things. That's fundamentally how the current paradigm shapes our experience. And that shaping occurs within a larger shaping in which we see the universe as composed of separate things. And if you look around, you will see all the separate things that surround you. And you can feel the degree to which you see them as truly separate from you. And if you look at your experience, all you will find is evidence that it's really true that all these things are separate from you. But as I already said, the way it works is the paradigm that we are in is based in an assumption that everything is separate. It then shapes our experience so that we experience everything as separate. And then we believe that everything is separate because that's the way we experience it. And if we, as a separate sense of self, try to liberate ourselves from that paradigm of separation without realizing it, we are continually reinforcing the very separation that we are trying to transcend. This is what Timothy Morton calls a wicked problem. Part of the wickedness of it is that even in the time that I've been speaking to you, even though my intention is to do whatever I can to support each and every one of us to become liberated from the current paradigm, I can't help but continually reinforce the current paradigm. Every time I refer to myself, I'm reinforcing that I am someone separate from you. Every time I imply that I am telling you something, I am reinforcing that separation. The paradigm that we live in lives most dramatically in the language that we have at our disposal. It's a language built on an assumption of separation, and it's a language that continually reinforces the assumption of separation. In the current paradigm, our experience of reality always presumes an assumption of our own existence. This presumption adheres us to a paradigm that assumes separation. Now, I want you to look at your experience, and I want you to think about this for a moment. There are always two aspects of the experience that you're having. You are both having an experience. So I am having the experience of speaking with you now, and you are having the experience of listening. At the very same time, we are having an experience of experiencing ourselves experiencing. So I am not only having the experience of speaking with you, I am also having the experience of knowing that I'm speaking with you, of experiencing myself speaking with you. And you are not only having the experience of listening or the experience of thinking or the experience of meditating, but you are also having the experience of experiencing yourself doing these things. So just contemplate that for the moment. Contemplating doesn't mean figuring out if it's true or not. Contemplating means simply being with the reality of that. And as you are experiencing the reality of it, you might find that you get deeper and deeper recognitions of exactly what I'm talking about. So we are not just having an experience. We are aware of ourselves having it. That is the meaning of being self-conscious, self-aware. But that experience of self-awareness keeps us locked in a paradigm in which we assume that we are separate from that which we are experiencing. This separation between the experiencer and the experienced is the separation of subject and object. Which is one of the fundamental pillars of the current paradigm. And one which I want us to question deeply right now. Another way to think about this assumption is that we always assume that we are having our experience. In fact, in the current paradigm, experience is assumed to be and defined as something that must be had by someone. So we are about to enter into a wormhole inquiry. And before we do that, I want to say just a little bit about how this form of inquiry works. This isn't an inquiry that you can do in the normal way that we think of inquiries. This is not a question to ponder. This is not something to figure out. Because, of course, if you're busy figuring something out, then you're busy being the person who's figuring it out, which means you're busy being the individual achiever of the current paradigm. So all of that effort to try to figure out the problem, to try to figure your way out of the current paradigm, is actually embedding you more deeply in the current paradigm. That's what makes it a wicked problem. The way that I want you to engage with the question I'm about to present has much more in common with a Zen koan. Zen koans, like the very famous "What is the sound of one hand clapping?" are not intellectual exercises. The goal of a Zen koan is not to be clever enough to figure out the answer. There isn't an answer in the normal sense. Instead, what you do is you just sit with the question. You contemplate just by being with it. It's almost like you are mentally feeling the question. It's almost more of a sensual inquiry than an intellectual inquiry. And as you feel into the question, you allow your mind to go wherever it does. Allow your mind to respond to the feeling of the question without directing it. And by being with a question this way, you're creating the space within which something can happen. So you can see the ground of this kind of inquiry is not different than the ground of meditation that we were exploring a few minutes ago. This can be very frustrating to the individual achiever. The individual achiever always wants to do something. It always wants to have a problem to solve. It doesn't see any value in just being. And if you pursue just being far enough, not only does the individual achiever have no interest, it begins to have a distinct aversion. Because it begins to realize that doing nothing, that wormhole inquiry, might take you to a place where the individual achiever no longer exists. That's when you discover that you never were that individual achiever. That may be an aspect of who you are, but it was never the limit of who you are. You were always much more than that. So now I want to share with you the focus of our wormhole inquiry. It's a question that I'm going to pose. And then I'm going to give you 10 minutes to just be with it. And you can do that sitting. If you prefer, you can walk around. But you're just going to be with this question and see what arises. Don't try to figure it out, but also don't stop your mind from trying. Don't do anything. We're just introducing the question into your consciousness, into a consciousness that's as relaxed and open as yours is right now, because of all the meditative work we've already done. So here is the question. What if there is no one having the experience that you think you're having? What if there is no one having the experience that you think you're having? That's the question I want you to be with for the next 10 minutes. As I said, you can be sitting, you can be walking, but really be with the question. Allow it to overtake your consciousness. Don't work with it. Don't try to figure it out. But also don't stop your mind from working with it or trying to figure it out. Just remain focused in the space of the question. And one last time, the question is, what if there is no one having the experience that you think you're having? What if there is no one having the experience you think you're having? What if this experience of being you, having an experience, is itself just an experience? And no one is there to have it. What if experience just is, and it's not being had by anyone? What if no one is having the experience you think you're having? Thank you. You can end the inquiry.